Okay, we are on Pei Amud Beis, all the way at the bottom of the page. Two lines in the bottom. Another story. So the Gemara says as follows: Kriv Seder of Nachman, Zivinza Lexubasa Batubasana. So there was a relative of Nachman who sold her ksuba betuvas hana, right? I mean, so she, look at Rashi. Rashi says, Zvinsa l'ksubasa, machra shibur ksubasa l'acherim ba'oda tachas baila, right? So she's still married, and she sells the rights to her ksuba, right, to somebody else. Betuvas hana davar muat, right, meaning a lot less money than the ksuba is actually worth. She'enu ela kechizuk tova, shekorin grid. My peak red zone. I don't know what that means. But Ulfish Alokech, Matil Mausa, Besafik, Shema Thomas Hibachai Baila, Mefachid, Veni Lokha, Albed Dami Muatan, right? What happens? Basically, whatever the ksuba is worth, $5,000. So he says, I'll pay you $500 so that in the event that you actually collect the ksuba at some point, he dies first, he divorces you, I get the whole ksuba. If he doesn't, then I lose my money. But it's worth the risk. He purchases it, that he would be able to collect it if it ends up that she ends up collecting. Fine. So that's what he did. And then Igrisha. So it turns out that the husband actually divorces her. Ushriva. And then she passes away. Okay. So Asu Katave Lala Barsa. And so they're coming now to collect the ksuba from her daughter afterwards. Rashi says, "Asa lekuchos v'katavi lebarsa haba lagavos ksubas ima meavia." Right, she's now coming to collect the ksuba from her father, right? Her mother's ksuba from her father, and so the guy who initially bought the ksuba is coming out to collect. Fine. So Amar lehu Rav Nachman leka delisba la itza. Right, so Nachman says, "Well, there's no one giving her advice." He kind of says it like out loud. No one's giving the daughter advice to do the following: Tezova tichla leksubasa dima shit legabi avua v'tir saminei. What should she do? What she should do is she should go to her father and say, "I'm mochel. Right, I don't want the ksuba. I'm fine. Don't give my mother's ksuba, and he'll keep the money. And then what she do when he dies? She'll get usher from him afterwards. So anybody, he'll always know that he." She saved the money, right? It'd be a smart move. Be mochel l'ksuba, since she still has the power to do that. This is related to, we're going to talk about this more in a second, related to the point we talked about earlier, which was someone who sells her shtarchov and then is mochel on the shtarchov, right? Someone owes you money and you sell that shtar to somebody else to be able to collect, and then you go to the guy who owed you the money and say, I'm mochel on the money, right? You don't own him anymore. It's the same thing. So she can do the same thing. She can go to the father and say, I'm mochel, and then she'll eventually later collect from him. So that'd be smart, right? So basically, he kind of said out loud that she should do this, and then Shama, she hears him, Azachilsa. So she goes and she actually does it. She didn't actually like tell her to do it, but he kind of like said out loud, it's a good idea. She heard him, and she went and she did it. So Amar Nachman Asinu Atzmeinu Ke'orchei Dayanin. Yikes! We've made ourselves, meaning I made myself like an attorney. Means in a negative way. I like taught her how to pull a move, and to mess over somebody else. I taught her how to how to maneuver the law to work for in her benefit. Right? The Mishnah Pekiyovas says like that we should not make ourselves to like Orchei Adayonim. The Mishnah says in Pekiyovas, right? That I didn't want to do that. Okay. Rashi says Asinu Atzmenu Kekarov Shal Baal Din O Havo Haba Itz Adayonim VeOrcho Birayos. Right, like a person who's a judge, and there's somebody comes into the bezdin, and I let them know, like, oh, if you see it like this, you see it like that, it'll work out for you, right? So the Gemara says, okay, fine, but meikar myself are lusof myself. I don't get it. Initially, he said she should do this. So, like, what? Why did he change his mind? Initially, what did he think? And then what did he think a lot later? So it says Gemara, no, meikar savar umi b'sarcha alo tisale. Initially, he thought that there's a concept of don't allow people from your family to be neglected, meaning she's family. So he thought, I'm giving good advice to a member of my family. And at the end, he realized, you know what? I'm an important person, and to give people advice like this is it's not right. Rashi says Adam Chachav Shani Lefishla Meidim Hem Men. They can learn from me. V'yesha Us Sheyasu Af Shalol the Krovim, and other people do it also, and not just for the Krovim. And it's not right, and I should really keep my hands out of these things. It wasn't the right thing to do. So I mean, technically it works, and it's it halachically has halachic standing if it happens. But it wasn't really the right thing for me to do, and therefore afterwards he had a charata that he went ahead and he did that. The Rishonim talk about whether it really works or not. Tosis and others talk about, like, even if she's mochel, she still has a certain hischaivus to the guy, to the people who bought it. And maybe anyway, she didn't really gain that much. She's gonna have to pay somebody back at least the value of what they spent on the ksuba initially, etc. So it's not that simple that the whole thing really works. But at the very least, the point is that the mechila is a good mechila, and then afterwards he felt bad. He shouldn't have told her to do that. Fine. So says Gemara. Next story. Kufa Amar Shmuel. Amocher shtarchov lechavero vechazaru machlo. Vefil yorish mochel. Right. So this is the concept we mentioned earlier when we talked about the case when Rabbi said to Braid Rav Chiya Barav, and he said, I'll tell you a milsa mal yusa. I'll tell you a chashava devar Torah. Right, so he talked about this idea of someone who is a person who sells a shtarchov to his friend, and that so Reuven borrows money borrows $1,000 from Shimon, right? So Shimon has a shtar. So Reuven has a shtar that says, Reuven has a shtar that says Shimon has a shtar that says that Reuven owes him $1,000, and then Reuven goes ahead and he sells that shtar, or the borrower goes ahead. So there's a borrower and a lender. So the lender takes the shtar and goes to another guy, Levi, and says, "Hey, Levi, you want to buy the shtar for me for $300? And I'll give you a chance to collect $1,000 from the guy who borrowed from me." Right? So, and then he goes back to the guy who borrowed from him and says, "Just so you know, we're good. I'm mochel. You don't owe me the money anymore. Good." So if you do that, it works, right? And even if his yorish does it, it works. So even if the lender's child eventually is mochel, works. So Amr Rav Huna, Brady of Yeshua, V'bikeachu, Mikarkish le'zuze, V'kasav le'shtar b'shmei. So Rav Huna, Brady of Yeshua says, yeah, that's true, right? If the lender sells the shtar and then goes ahead and is mochel on the hava, it is true that it works. But if you're the guy who's buying the shtar, you should do something much smarter. So what do you do? So let's say I'm the guy who purchased the shtar, right? So Reuven owes Shimon $1,000. So I purchased the shtar now. So now Reuven owes me $1,000. What should I do? I should spend a little money, says, and I should go to Reuven and say, Reuven, look, I have the shtar now. Let's write a new shtar. And the new shtar has whose name in it? My name, right? That way, if the lender, original lender, goes ahead and is mochel, it won't work anymore, right? Because now you owe me the money, right? So in order to get around that, to avoid that very unseemly scenario where the guy is mochel after he sold me the shtarchov, I should go myself, pay a little money, and I don't have to worry about it. Fine. And by the way, what the Gemara is telling us is that it works. And Rashi says, Mekarkish leizuzay lelove, right, to the borrower. Vesochro behen lichtov lo shtarchov bishmo kodim shiyasu kenunya ben shenem. Before anything crazy happens, just have a new start. And presumably it'll cost money, you have to get someone to write it up. Okay, so Amram, next Gemara. Amram Meimar. Man de doin dina de garmi, migbe be de meishtara ma'aya. Okay, so there's something called grama. Grama you've probably heard about before, right? Grama is, things are done in an indirect way, right? So grama benizikin in general is pater. If I didn't actually cause you damage, but I did something indirectly that ended up causing you damage, so grama, when it comes to nizikin, so that's pater, you're pater. But garmi is something a little more direct than grama, and that is discussion in machlokas whether we're dying din the garmi or not dying din the garmi. There's whole svarim in the Ramban with a whole sefer just on the question of din the garmi, and we showed them have a whole discussion. How do you determine which things are considered grama and which things are considered garmi? The only problem is if you look at the different Rishonim, no one really. There's no clear difference, per se, as the Rishonim kind of goes through it. Like, to really tell me, like, this is Garmi and this is Grama, depends who you ask. But the bottom line is that, or the general concept, is that Garmi is, in some way, considered a little more direct direct hezek. You're a little more direct damage than grum is. Fine. So the Mimar says, someone, those who are dying dien de garmi, migme bei de meshtara ma'alya, right? They would make you, if they think you owe money for garmi in a situation with garmi, so they'd make you pay back the value of the star, right? Mandalo dien de garmi, migme bei de meinar ba'ama. So they'd say, you don't have to, Rashi says, migme bei ba'hai shtar mina mochlo. I mean, again, so what's the case? The case is, I lend $1,000 to Reuven, right? And then I go and I sell the star to Shimon. So now Reuven owes Shimon $1,000. And then I say, Reuven, machalach, you're fine. You don't owe me any money. And now what happens, Shimon, who bought the star from me, is now, for $100, whatever, is out his money, right? So that lechora, the Gemara seems to say, that's considered garmi, right? That's not, it's some type of indirect way of messing over Reuven and making him lose money. So if you hold Din the Garmi is a thing, so what do you make me pay? I have to pay him back $1,000 that the star is worth, right? If you're not Din the Garmi, how much do you have to pay him back? The value of the paper, because at least he lost the money on the paper. Rashi says, Demeshtar me'alya kol achov shebesocha, right, all of it. Fine, but again, talking about a case, one of the cases in Bava Kama talks about garmi, and what do they say in that case? And if you don't hold it, all I owed you is the money, and you have it is the only thing I sold you was the star, and you have the star. So I didn't make you lose any money. Meaning he actually wouldn't even have to pay the money of the star itself, because he sold that to him, and he has that. So it's fine. Okay. And what happened? Hava uvda v'kafei raf from Lovashi v'agve bei keshur l'talmi. So there was a scenario like this, and raf from forced Rav Ashi, right, and he made him pay keshur l'talmi. Rashi says. What's Kitchur Latsami? Klomar Giboy Gomar. I mean, he made him pay all the money, meaning he made him pay for the full value. Right? Kola Hefsid Dik Dik Bo. Kashi Dakdik Halokech Kura Latsurba Tsuros Shlokech Yeshar Vechalka. Like if you're purchasing beams for something, right? So you'll be very careful and check them out every last piece to make sure it's totally good. You're using it to whatever you're gonna use it for. So same thing. He made him pay every last dollar, right, to pay it out. Fine. So he was makbid and dini the garmi. Okay. Amar Meimar, Mishmed Rav Chama. Hai man di'ika aliyah ksubas isha u'bachov. Let's say you have a person who owes two things. He's married and he owes money to somebody. Right? So he owes money to his wife for ksuba, and he owes, and presumably they're getting divorced. And he owes a bachov money also. He's got to do both. The isle ara, the isle zuze, and he has land and he has money. The bachov misalkinan le bazuze. The bachov, the guy owes the money too. He should pay with money. The isha misalkinan la the ara, and the woman, his wife, he should pay off with land. Okay, hakidine if hakidine. Each one like its appropriate thing. Right? Rashi says hakidine ze halov and mos vizuz samcha al shibur akarka. Right. So the point being that the Lova always assumes he's going to get back money because you borrowed money from him, right? And she's relying on the Shibur Karka. That's what she always assumes she's going to get. So he gets money and she gets land. That's what we've said before. We've talked about before. You're not supposed to put money, as we mentioned before, you're not supposed to put a bag of money aside for the ksuba. You should really use the karka instead for the ksuba. Fine. Fine. So, ilo ika el chad. Let's say you only have one. Chad ara. Velo chazi el chad. You only have one piece of land, and it's a piece of land that can't be split up, and it's only shaykh to one person. Lebachov yavin elay. Leisha lo yavin elay. So, who do you give the money to? You have money to the person that you took a loan from, not to your wife. Why? My time, huh? Yos mimasha ish rotsalisa isha Isha rotza linase. Because more than a man wants to get married, a woman wants to get married. We've seen that phrase in Aramaic as tav lemeitav tandu, min lemeisav amalu, right? Woman would rather stay, you know, with a husband than be with nobody. But what's the point? The point is the following. You have two concerns going on here. If you don't pay back. If you don't pay back the Baal Chov, or I would actually say it like this. If Chazal don't require you to pay back the Baal Chov, what's the concern? They always have the concern of shalotino delas b'fein lovin. There's always a concern that if we don't put things in place that make sure that people pay back a loan, so you're going to find people less likely to lend money. Right? And we're nervous about that. We bend over backwards to make sure the Baal Chov always gets paid back. Why? So people know, the halacha always makes sure that I get paid back. But if you don't pay off the ksuba, what you're concerned with, women are going to be not willing to marry men. Right? I won't have the security of my ksuba. So the answer is, who are we less concerned about? The answer is, we're less concerned about, if you're putting the two together, we care about both. If you have to decide, choose one over the other, we're more concerned that shalotino delas b'fein lovin, more likely that lenders won't lend money, then we're nervous that women will refuse to get married. That they're more likely to want to get married than the Baal Chov to want to lend money. So if we're stuck, we have to choose one of the other, we choose the Baal Chov. So Amalei Rav Papa, Rav Chama, Vade de Amriso Mishmei de Rava, Haiman de Maske Bezuze, the Isle Ara. Right? So you for sure said now in front of Rava the following thing, or did you say it? Right? A person who doesn't have, right, Haiman de Maske Bezuze, the Isle Ara. So he has money, he has cash, and he has land. And the Baal Chov comes and says, I want to take, he comes to ask him for his money. And he says, you know, I want you to take land. The guy comes to collect his money, and the guy owes the money. He says, no, take it from my land. You can say back to him, you can say to him, go sell your own land and pay me the money. Is it true that you said such a thing? That the guy owes me cash, and he has cash, and he has land. And I say, can I have your cash? And he says, I can say to him, you know what? You know, take the land. And I can say back, no, you owe me money. You want to pay me the land? You sell your land, and you can pay me the cash. You don't pay me with land. Is that true that you said that? So I'm a lie. No, I didn't say that. So he says, fine. So Emily Gufa de Ufta Heichahava. So what was the story? Like, how did I hear that? You said that if it's not really true. Like, what did I miss here? No, what's the case? The case was a guy who had cash, and you show up and you see the cash on the table. Say, like, oh, great, can you pay me back? And he says, no, it's not my money, it belongs to some non-Jew. So, who asked Shaloka Hogan? Lefigach asu bo Shaloka Hogan. So, that's not right. And the guy said, we don't know if he's telling the truth, not telling the truth. We don't know. But seems not so glad what that guy's doing. So he goes ahead and says, I'll pay you karka. When you see this cash sitting right there, you know he has the cash, right? So in that case, we say to him, you're going to be like non-a-mensch about it, so we can be a little bit non-a-mensch back to you. And we say to him, you're acting in a way that's not so appropriate, so we'll force you to make sure that you pay the cash, that you find the cash yourself. So Amalei Rav Kahana, and you see here again the importance for the Baal Chov of getting paid back cash. That was like the assumption there. After how much we talked about the importance of paying people with karka, right? But still in this case, the case of the Baal Chov of the expectations to get back the cash. So Amalei Rav Kahana Rav Papa, the Dichad Amres Prius Baal Chov Mitzvah. This is another question. Okay, according to you, holds that Prius Baal Chov Mitzvah, that paying back the Baal Chov is a mitzvah. And we say Prius Baal Chov Mitzvah, we mean it's sort of only a mitzvah. Right, that when you have to pay back a Baal Chov, that it's a mitzvah, it's a nice. When you do it, it's a nice thing. But not exactly as much of a chiyuv in a certain sense. So if you hold that Prius Baal Chov mitzvah, so what happened? Amar lo nichli di abin mitzvah, my amalai. Right? What if the guy says, I don't want to do that mitzvah? Right? What happens then? So Tanina, so we've taught already, b'medvar mamurim, b'mitzvos lo sase. Right? About mitzvahs, I say, "Kigon sha'omrim lo, I say sukkah ve'ena osa lula ve'ena osa." Let's say a guy says that he doesn't want to. Meaning, b'me'ad dvarim murim is that we typically give someone malchus if they don't do a los asay. But what happens if a guy doesn't want to do an asay? Doesn't want to build a sukkah. He doesn't want to pick up a lula. So what do? Malchus no so, actually tate se nafsho. We hit him until he dies. Okay, so this really means that he dies. Rashi says, "Makan so kodim sha'avar al asay v'yesh biyad lekayim." As long as he can do so, we hit him until he does it. Right. So teitzah nashal really means that we would kill him because he didn't pick up a lulav. L'chor or not, but it means that we force him. We force him to do so. If the guy doesn't want to pay back his loan, so we force him. Fine. One more gemara. Ba minei Rami bar Chama meRav Chista. Rami bar Chama asked Rav Chista the following: I raise a giteich v'lo tiskar shibo el achas shloshim yom. So we've had this case before. The guy says, here's your get, but you're not going to be divorced for 30 days. And then she takes the get, and she puts it on the side of the Rishus HaRab. And it's going to stay there, l'chora, through the 30 days. So day 30 doesn't come, she's not going to have her get. It's sitting in the Rishus HaRab. Mo, right? Is she divorced or not? So Amalei, and the Gereshus, he says she's not divorced. Why? Because when day 30 came up, She didn't have the get. The Rav Shmuel. Then that's from Rav Shmuel. Why the Rav Shmuel? The Rav Tzavayu, for who should sivurin uminachim rishus harabim. Right. We talked about before this idea that if someone wants to collect something, you want to be tofik from the Bachov. Right. If the item is sitting in the rishus harabim, so then anyone can come take it. Meaning, presumably, it doesn't. If it's sitting in the middle of rishus harabim, it's not in her possession. Right. Vitzidi rishus harabim, ki rishus harabim damu. And they said that the tzidi rishus harabim is considered like rishus harabim. So it sounds like she's not divorced. So he says back to him, Adarabba, no, what do you mean? Migureshi, she should be divorced. I mean, the Rav Nachman. The Am Rav Nachman, Am Rav, Rav Huah, you know this case from before. Am Lechaver, Meshoch Parazu, do Meshicha on this cow, right? Velo Tiaknu Yelcha Ad La'acha Shoshim Yom. Right? But even if you do the Meshicha now, it won't belong to you for 30 days. Kona, he's Kona. And even that, you're calling, even if by the time the 30 days comes, the parah is sitting in some pond somewhere, right? Basically, it's in Rishus HaRabim. My love, Hanu Agam, Hanu Tzidim Rishus HaRabim. Isn't the Agam, this lake, and in the side of Rishus HaRabim the same thing? So Gemara says, no. Lo, Agam Lachud, Tzidim Rishus HaRabim Lachud. No, they're two different things. So it's not true, and therefore, presumably, it sounds like we go back and say, she's enemy Gereshus. The Gemara has a different way of saying the story. Ikad Amri, others said the opposite direction. Amalei Migureshes, Mid Rav Nachman, Vitzidi Rishus Rabim, Ka Agam Dami. And the Gemara says, no, Ad Rabba, Ain Migureshes, Mid Rav Shmuel, just flipped the order. My love, Hanu Rishus Rabim, Hanu Tzidi Rishus Rabim, Lo, Rishus Rabim Lechud, Vitzidi Rishus Rabim Lechud. Bottom line is, ends up in Machlokas, whether it counts in this case or it doesn't case. I guess the only difference would be is that the initial case was saying that that she's Migureshes, and then the other side says she's in Migureshes. I don't know if you'd say that. In both cases, we followed the initial opinion. But the bottom line is you have, it's the same opinion, just flipped in each case. Fine, so we'll stop here. Pick up tomorrow.